Well, hello there. Welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 429, and I'm your host, Steve Webb. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Our text today is Matthew chapters 18 and 19, and we'll read from the New International Version. Let's begin. Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And this servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." May God bless the reading of His Word. Jesus addressed several topics in these two chapters. Today I'd like to focus on chapter 18, verse 15, because there are a lot of people who seem to be unaware of what Jesus said in regards to judging others. Let me read it to you again. Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over." Now, I can hear some of you saying, "But Steve, in my translation it says, 'If your brother or sister sins against you,'" and you'd be right. Many translations do include the words, "against you." When those words are added, the meaning of this passage changes, doesn't it? After all, if you sin against me in some way, it's only logical that I would have the right to bring it to your attention. So why do some translations leave out those two words, and why do some include them? I did some digging in my library and found that in the original Greek, the words against you are not included. So that would seem to indicate that Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. But being the careful sort when it comes to Bible study, I looked up some similar passages. For example, Luke 17:3 says, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. I looked up the Greek for this verse, and guess what? Against you is not there. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Looks like we have a trend here, doesn't it? But again, being careful, I called my pastor to ask his opinion. Together we looked at the language and found that against you is not in the original Greek. Some translators do include the words in parentheses, which means that they are implied or perhaps added later. I can almost see why these translators see that the words are implied if we continue in the chapter to verse 21 when Peter asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? But when we look at the Greek here, the words against me are included. So in my opinion, if Jesus had meant to say against you in verse 15, he would have said it. So where does that leave us? Here in Matthew and in several other verses of the New Testament, we're taught that when we become aware of fellow believers' sin, we must first go to them privately and gently, with humility, point it out to them. Why? Because unrepented sin keeps us from having the kind of relationship with God that He wants. The motivation is not to say, hey, I saw you do that and you're busted, but to point out their error so that they can confess their sin and be restored to God. If they refuse, then we're to take two or three others to meet with the one in error. If they still refuse, the church should be made aware, and if they still refuse correction, then Jesus said to treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But wait, it's not harsh at all. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? With love. My goodness, Matthew, the writer of this book, was a tax collector before Jesus came into his life. Believers are to treat pagans and tax collectors as people who sorely need the redemption provided by the shed blood of Jesus. When a brother or sister refuses to deal with their sin by confessing it, we are to treat them as if they are at square one, as someone who does not know the love of Christ. Do we reject that type of person? Heaven forbid! Your thoughts? If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Or leave a comment on the show notes page at 429.lifespringmedia.com. Or tweet me at @_SteveWeb_. Hey, have you told a friend yet about the Lifespring Family Audio Bible? This is the perfect time of year to do that because so many people are saying, you know what, I need to read the Bible more this year. Well, as you know, that's what this show is all about. So send them over to Bible.lifespringmedia.com and help them to subscribe to the podcast. If you like the show and you think that it brings value to your life, I'd invite you to go over to support.lifespringmedia.com and make a value for value gift. You can make a one-time gift of any amount, or you can sign up to make monthly donations. I do need your support. So stop on by support.lifespringmedia.com. Value for value. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back in the book of 2 Kings. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.